Welcome back. We're going to be talking about Kurt Cobain today, the lead singer and guitarist for the band Nirvana. Big hit in the 90s and 2000s.
When we were in high school.
Yeah, I love this band. They weren't one of my favorite bands. And I won't say the music was good or great, but it was different.
They started the whole grunge movement, didn't they?
Yeah, they were part of it. Yeah, I mean, the music was kind of discordant. The vocals weren't great, but it was an avenue for teenagers, you know. And it really did. He did really write from his heart.
Yeah.
So that kind of lended to the popularity of the music. They had good songs, you know, Teen Spirit, Lithium.
Heart-Shaped Box was one.
Heart-Shaped Box, yeah. I mean, stuff like that. And he did get involved with Courtney Love, who was also a grunge singer.
She's fucking crazy.
Nuts. She was in the movie The People versus Larry Flint as his kind of love interest type.
She was the wife, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah. She's definitely suspect in a lot of ways. But to get to it...
We'll do some conspiracy theories and stuff around it, too.
On April 8th, 1994, Kurt Cobain, the lead singer and guitarist of the grunge band Nirvana, was found dead in his home in Seattle, Washington. He was 27. It was determined that he had died 3 days earlier on the 5th. The police department stated that Cobain was found with a shotgun across his body. He did have a visible gunshot wound to the head, and there was a suicide note discovered nearby, and it was confirmed that Kurt had committed suicide. You have the note?
I do have the note. I just didn't know if you were going to want to read the note first.
Yeah, let's go ahead and read the note real quick.
Okay, hang on.
And like we talked about, there are some conspiracy theories that he was murdered.
Because it was a shotgun that was used.
Yeah. There's definitely some things that ring kind of odd.
Okay, the note reads, "To Boda. Speaking from the tongue of an experienced simpleton who obviously would rather be an emasculated, infantile complainee, this note should be pretty easy to understand. All the warnings from the Punk Rock 101 courses over the years since my first introduction to the, shall we say, ethics involved with independence and embracement of your community has proven to be very true. I haven't felt the excitement of listening to as well as creating music along with reading and writing for so many years now. I feel guilty beyond words about these things. For example, when we were backstage and the lights go out and the manic roar of the crowds begins, it doesn't affect me the way in which it did for Freddie Mercury, who seemed to love, relish in the love and admiration from the crowd, which is something I totally admire and envy. The fact is, I can't fool you. Any of you. It simply isn't fair to you or me. The worst crime I can think of would be to rip people off by faking it and presenting as if I'm having 100% fun. Sometimes I feel as if I should have a punch-in time clock before I walk out on stage. I've tried everything within my power to appreciate it, and I do, God believe me, I do, but it's not enough. I appreciate the fact that I and we have affected and entertained a lot of people. It must be one of those narcissists who only appreciate things when they're gone. I'm too sensitive. I need to be slightly numb in order to regain the enthusiasms I once had as a child. On our last 3 tours, I've had a much better appreciation for all the people I've known personally and as fans of our music, but I still can't get over the frustration, the guilt, and empathy I have for everyone. There's good in all of us, and I think I simply love people too much, so much that it makes me feel too fucking sad. The sad, little, sensitive, unappreciated Pisces Jesus man. Why don't you enjoy it? I don't know. I have a goddess of a wife who sweats ambition and empathy, and a daughter who reminds me too much of what I used to be, full of love and joy, kissing every person she meets because everyone is good and will do her no harm. And that terrifies me to the point to where I can barely function. I can't stand the thought of Francis becoming the miserable, self-destructive death rocker that I've become. I have it good, very good, and I'm grateful, but since the age of 7, I've become hateful towards all humans in general, only because it seems so easy for people to get along and that have empathy. Only because I love and feel sorry for people too much, I guess. Thank you all from the pit of my burning, nauseous stomach for your letters and concern during the past years. I'm too much of an erratic, moody baby. I don't have the passion anymore, and so remember, it's better to burn out than to fade away. Peace, love, empathy, Kurt Cobain. Francis and Courtney, I'll be at your altar. Please keep going, Courtney, for Francis, for her life, which will be so much happier without me. I love you. I love you.
Very tortured person inside, and so successful. You would think that doing what you love and making millions of dollars. And I mean, they were the most best-selling bands of the 90s.
Yeah, they really were.
I mean, you really couldn't turn on the radio without hearing Nirvana.
Even from where I came from, and you've been there. It's a very small town, which mostly is country music listening. We knew who Nirvana was.
Yeah, I mean, this was played at high school dances.
Yeah.
It was blasting in people's cars.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, the cool thing. There was Nirvana shirts everywhere. I mean, very successful. Even as much so, even after Kurt was gone, the band members went to go and start other projects. Which
they became the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, highly successful. And I will say that the lyrics are very good. I wouldn't say his guitar playing was talented, but it was different. But I will say that for the music, his voice was good for that, and I
mm-hmm.
think the lyrics were very good. I thought
mm-hmm.
he was a good lyricist, and I thought the rhythm section was very good. I'm a musician, so I always break that stuff down.
Yeah, I think the drummer for Nirvana is the lead man for Foo Fighters.
Yeah. I mean, so not bad music, and it was something that it was an avenue for him to get his feelings out there and his music out there. Which then, if you could start making money and support your family, and you become that successful, then what do you have? You just kind of have yourself to you, and you really find out who your friends are.
Oh yeah, when you become that rich,
yeah.
You do find out.
And maybe, you know, it sounds like there's some underlying tense stuff with Courtney in there, maybe. But it's
a lot of people blame her.
It's interesting that he mentions his stomach. I'll get to that.
Oh yeah, the nauseousness done his stomach.
Throughout most of his life, Cobain suffered from chronic bronchitis, an intense pain to an undiagnosed chronic stomach condition. This was prone to alcoholism, suffered from depression, and regularly he used drugs and inhalants. Two uncles of his cousin had killed themselves using guns. On March 3rd, 1994, Cobain was hospitalized in Rome following an overdose of painkillers. His management agency, Gold Mountain Records, said that the overdose was accidental, and that he was suffering from influenza and fatigue. However, Cobain's wife, Courtney, later said the overdose had been an attempted suicide. He took 50 pills. He probably forgot how many he took, but there was a definite suicidal urge to be gobbling and gobbling and gobbling all those pills.
Now, how does she know that?
I don't know.
Seems weird that your husband, who's in the hospital, you're going to just put out there that he tried to commit suicide.
Yeah, I mean, were you setting the stage for something?
It seems like she's setting the stage and painting a picture.
Cobain mentioned that he had stomach pain so severe during Nirvana's 91 European tour that he became suicidal. He stated taking heroin was his choice, saying it was the only thing that's saving me from shooting myself right now. I will say that people in chronic severe pain do look to suicide for an alternative.
Or if you're in chronic or severe pain, you say you're going to kill yourself just so it goes away, but you may not actually mean you're going to actually do it.
But some people have. Cobain's cousin, Beverly, a nurse, said that the family had a history of suicide and that Cobain had been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and bipolar disorder.
Okay, explain.
So he had ADD and he had the bipolar. I mean, he's mood swings, ups and downs. When you're up, you're really up. When you're down, you're really down. Trouble focusing on just one thing and getting it done.
Okay.
You know, his mind's always fluttering. Plus, then he's got to deal with the ups and downs on top of that.
But there's medication for that.
Yeah, there is medication for it. In Charles Cross's biography, Heavier Than Heaven, Nirvana bassist Krist Novoselic is quoted on seeing Cobain in the days before his intervention. He was really quiet. He was just estranged from all of his relationships. He wasn't connecting with anybody. Novoselic's offer to buy a dinner for Cobain resulted in the unintentionally driving him to the score heroin. His dealer was right there. He wanted to get fucked up into oblivion. He wanted to die, and that's what he wanted to do. On March 31st, 94, Cobain left rehab. He had checked in the day before. It was the Exodus Recovery Center. He scaled a 6-foot brick wall on the second. A taxi driver drove Cobain to a Seattle gun shop where he received a receipt for firearm shells. Cobain told the driver he wanted to buy shells because he had been burglarized.
Which he may well have been.
On April 8th, 94, Cobain's body was discovered in the greenhouse above the garage at the Cobain's Lake Washington Boulevard East House. He was discovered by an employee, an electric employee who had worked there on the grounds. He arrived that morning to install security lighting. Smith thought he was asleep until he saw the blood oozing from Cobain's ear. He also found the suicide note with a pen stuck through it inside a flower pot. A Remington Model 1120 gauge shotgun purchased by Cobain, for Cobain by his friend, Dylan Carlson, was found on Cobain's chest. It had been legally purchased by Carlson at Stan Baker's gun shop. Cobain did not want the gun purchased in his name because he thought the police might seize it for his own protection. The police had taken away his guns twice in the previous 10 months. The King County medical examiner noted puncture wounds to the inside of both the left and right elbows. The gun was not checked for fingerprints. According to the fingerprint analysis report, 4 latent prints were lifted, but they were unusable. The Seattle police report states that the shotgun was inverted on Cobain's chest with his left hand wrapped around the barrel. On April 14th, 1994, the Seattle Post-Intelligence reported Cobain was high on heroin when he pulled the trigger. The paper reported that the toxicological test determined the level of morphine in Cobain's system was 1.52. There was no evidence of valium in his blood. The report contained a quote from Randall Bassett, a chemical toxicological institute, stating that Cobain's heroin was at a high concentration by any account. He stated the strength of the dose would depend on many factors, including how habituated Cobain was in the drug.
So what they're kind of saying is he was too high to do it?
Or maybe he wasn't, just depending on how familiar his body was with heroin, because you would need more and more each time to get the high.
But still, at that high of a dose, he's non-functional. Or yeah. He should have been.
In March 2014, the Seattle Police Department developed 4 rolls of film that had been left in an evidence vault. According to the police, the photographs depict the scene of Cobain's corpse more clearly than previous. Detective Mike Sinsky, a cold case investigator, was asked to look at the film because it is 20 years later and it's a high media case. Sinsky stated the official cause of Cobain's death remained suicide, and that image would not be released to the public. But in 2016, the images were released. According to a spokesperson for the Seattle Police Department, they receive at least 1 request weekly, mostly through Twitter, to reopen the investigation. This resulted in maintenance of the basic incidents report on file.
I think it seems like a good idea, maybe.
Well, on April 10th, a public memorial service was held where a recording of Courtney Love reading Cobain's suicide note was played. Near the end of the vigil, Love arrived and distributed some of his clothing to fans who remained. In the following days, Love consoled and mourned with fans who came to her house. Cobain's body was cremated. Love divided his ashes. She kept some in a teddy bear and some in an urn. She took another portion of his ashes to the Nyagami Buddhist Monastery in Ithaca, New York. There, some of his remains were ceremonially blessed by the monks and mixed into clay, which were then used to make memorial sculptures. A final ceremony was arranged for Cobain by his mother on the 31st, 1999, and that was attended by both Love and Tracy Miranda. Some of the reactions from his friends, they were surprised when he committed suicide. Mark Langland, a longtime friend of Cobain, told Rolling Stone, "I never knew Cobain to be suicidal. I just knew he was going through a tough time." In the same article, Carlson stated that he wished Cobain or someone close to him had told him that Rome was a suicide attempt. Danny Goldberg, husband of Carol and founder of Gold Mountain Records, refers in his book, Dispatches from the Culture Wars, how the left lost teen spirit to crazy internet rumors that Cobain had not committed suicide but had been murdered, stating Cobain's suicide haunts him every day. Anthony Kiedis, the lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, expressed his feelings in the song Scar Tissue.
I didn't know that was about him.
I didn't either. A musical hero of Cobain, Greg Sage, said in an interview, "Well, I can only really speculate other than what he said to me, which was he wasn't at all happy about it. Success to him seemed like, I think, a brick wall. There was nowhere else to go but down. It was artificial for him, and he wasn't an artificial person at all. He was actually, 2 weeks after he died, he was supposed to come here and wanted to record a bunch of Lead Belly covers. It was kind of in secret because, I mean, people would definitely not allow him to do that. You have to wonder, he was a billion-dollar industry at the time of the industry. Had any idea of him wishing or wanting to get out. They couldn't have allowed it, you know, in life, because it was just get out of the scene. He'd be totally forgotten. But if he was to die, he'd be immortalized."
Right.
Some of the conspiracies are put forth. The official ruling of suicide has been disputed by people familiar with his death. So Richard Lee, the first to object publicly to the report of suicide was Seattle Public Access host Richard Lee. A week following Cobain's death, Lee aired the first episode of an ongoing series called Kurt Cobain Was Murdered, claiming there were several discrepancies in the police reporting, including several changes in the nature of the shotgun blast. Lee acquired a video that was taped on April 8th from the tree outside Cobain's garage showing a scene around Cobain's body, which he claimed showed a marked absence of blood for what was reported as a point-blank shotgun blast to the head. Several pathology experts have stated that a shotgun blast inside the mouth often results in less blood, unlike a shotgun blast to the head.
And honestly, if you're committing suicide, a shotgun is not the typical gun that's used.
Well, I've taken care of a lot of patients who have tried to commit suicide by shotgun. And typically what they do is they go under their chin. But what happens is the shotgun blast is so strong is that it kicks it forward and you end up blowing off the front part of your face. You're not really killing yourself, you're just blowing off that front part of your face. For others, it's definitely, if they go into their mouth, it's going to kill them. And yes, there's going to be less blood. But more often than not, it's almost harder for them to get to the trigger.
To the trigger, because it's too long of a gun.
Under the chin, they could get to the trigger.
But in the mouth, they can't.
Unless it's a sawed-off or it's a shortened barrel.
I was just looking at the pictures that they have. They don't...
And it just seems like a really awkward way when you could get a handgun.
Right.
You could overdose on pills. When there's a lot of other things you could do that...
And why did it take 3 days for his body to be discovered?
That too.
That's weird. Because the pictures that I saw, I couldn't see all of them because the thing I'm using isn't cooperating with me. But the placement of the gun is like laying beside his body. And the shotgun, the barrel is down towards his feet. Or not, I mean, the butt is down towards his feet. The barrel is in here. But it's like his hand is just like laying on it.
It's almost like it was staged.
It was almost like it was staged.
Right, because if you think about, was he kneeling? Was he standing? Which way would the gun kick after it went off? Which way would your body go? Because if you did it right, that would be instant death. You know, where does the gun go there? You would have no control over where it went.
Right, and it looks like it's just, it's not laying across his body.
It just looks like a nice neat package.
Exactly. The way it's laying does not look.
Oh, yeah, he definitely killed himself. Look how that gun is.
With the way it's laying, it does not look consistent with a suicide attempt. It doesn't look like he did it. And it just, like I said, I couldn't see all the pictures because what I'm using is not cooperating with me.
Sure.
To be able to see it. I seen a drawing of it where it looked like his head exploded. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to spread. The shotgun shell spread.
Well, even if somebody shoots you in the head with said shotgun, it's going to explode.
Correct.
And did they check his hands for gunshot residue?
I'm sure they did.
And why would she cremate him? Because now, if you open
up... Well, I want to be cremated. That's just, that could have just been his wishes.
But, in a situation like that, I don't think I would if I had a question at all. Like, did he really...
But she didn't have a question. If she had something to do with it...
Well, if she had something to do with it, she's going to be all for cremating that body.
But what was her motive? So, Tom Grant, a private investigator hired by Love to find Cobain after his departure from drug rehabilitation, said he believed that Cobain was murdered.
Right, that's what I think.
Grant's theory has been analyzed and questioned by several books, television shows, films, and in 2015, a docudramery soaked in bleach. Grant was still under Love's employment when the body was found. Grant has stated that the events surrounding the death of Cobain are filled with lies, contradictions in logic, and countless inconsistencies. These are motivated by profit over truth, as well as a web of business deals and personal career considerations. Courtney Love, her lawyers, and many of Courtney's industry supporters have engaged in an effort to keep public from learning the real facts of the case. There are several components to Grant's theory.
I think... There was a rumor going around that she was too much for him and he was going to divorce her.
Mm-hmm.
And if he divorced her, she lost all the money. Because at the time, I don't think her band was making very much. And I think she was kind of riding his coattails to become more popular. Is that what I'm wanting to say?
Yeah, more known.
But go ahead and finish. Sorry I interrupted.
Grant argues that Cobain could not have injected himself with such a dose and still have been able to pull the trigger.
That's what I thought, too.
Grant does not believe that Cobain was killed by the heroin dose. He suggests that the heroin was used to incapacitate Cobain before the final shotgun blast was administered by the perpetrator. Grant, Wallace, and Hal Perrin have used the dosage reported by the Seattle Post-Intelliger, not the actual autopsy report, and may not have the correct figure. The Seattle police cannot release the information to the media because reports and records of autopsies are confidential and protected. While working for Love, Grant was given access to Cobain's suicide note and used her fax machine to make a photocopy, which has since been widely distributed.
Yeah, because you can see there's pictures on here of the suicide note, and it looks like... It doesn't look like it's written by the same person because it's written differently. Like, I'll show you a picture of it. It looks like one part's written by one person and another part's written separately because the I love you, and the little P.S. looks different than the rest of the suicide note.
Well, after studying the note, Grant believes that it was actually a letter written by Cobain announcing his intent to leave Love, Seattle, and the music business. Grant asserts that the lines at the very bottom of the note, separate from the rest, are the only parts implying suicide.
Right.
While the official report on Cobain's death concluded that Cobain wrote the note, Grant claims the official report does not distinguish that these final lines from the rest of the note, and it assumes it was entirely written by Cobain. Despite consulting with many handwriting experts, some disagree with Grant's claims. Document examiner Janice Parker concluded that the note was written by Cobain after spending 2 weeks examining the original copy when Dateline NBC sent a copy of the note to four different handwriting experts. One concluded the entire note was written by Cobain's hand, while the other three said the sample was inconclusive. One expert contacted by the television series Unsolved Mysteries expressed difficulty in drawing a conclusion given that the note being studied was a photocopy rather than the original. But in the same documentary, the other two experts found the writing, especially in the last four lines, suspicious.
Yeah, because if you look at it, like, let me see if I can find...
While you're looking for that, I'm going to do this. Grant also cites circumstantial evidence from the official report. For example, the report claimed that the doors of the greenhouse could not have been locked from the outside, meaning Cobain would have had to lock them himself. Grant said that when he saw the doors for himself, he found that they could be locked and pulled shut. He also questions the lack of fingerprint evidence connecting Cobain to the evidence, including the shotgun. Grant notes the official report said that Cobain's fingerprints were also absent from the suicide note as well as the pen, and that had been shoved through it, and yet Cobain was found without gloves.
Yeah, because it was in a flower pot. Here, look at the note. Well, keep your space, but look at the note. See how all of this is written normally? But this down here looks very suspect.
Yeah, it's actually bigger.
It's bigger. It's a lot bigger. It's a lot. But that up here kind of matches. But who's to say after he was shot up with the heroin, somebody didn't say, hey,
coerce him to do it.
Add this, and then took that pen away. Because it was put in a flower pot with the pen through
it. I think what this guy's trying to say is everything was either... Whoever was doing all this was wearing gloves, or they wiped everything down, including his prints.
So that their prints wouldn't be found.
Right. In studying the Rome incident, journalists Ian Halperin and Max Wallace contacted Dr. Oswaldo Galletta, who treated Cobain after the incident. Galletta contested the claim that the Rome overdose was a suicide attempt. We can usually tell a suicide attempt. This didn't look like one. Galletta was also specifically denied Love's claim that 50 rohypnol pills were removed from Cobain's stomach. However, they also stated Grant believes Courtney may have mixed a large number of pills into Kurt's champagne so that when he took a drink, he was actually unknowingly ingesting a large amount of the drug, enough to kill him. But if that is the case, why did she call the police when she found him unconscious on the floor? If she wanted Kurt dead, why didn't she just leave him on the floor until he died?
Maybe she thought he was, and to throw suspicion off of her, because she may have thought he was at the point of even if she called the cops, they couldn't do anything for him. So that's probably why she called, because if you don't call, then it's going to look suspicious.
Or she had second thoughts.
I doubt that. I think she thought he was probably at the point of no return, and it was safe to call the cops. To get, you know, him in a hospital. Because if he dies in the hospital, it's going to look better for her that she tried to do something. But she may have thought at the point that she called, there was no hope for it. That he was gone and they couldn't help him.
Grant believes that the claim of the Rome incident being a suicide attempt was not made until after Cobain's death. He claims the people close to Cobain, including Gold Mountain Records, specifically denied the characterization prior to Cobain's death. Grant believes that if Rome had truly been a suicide attempt, Cobain's friends and family would have been told so that they could have watched over him. Others have also asserted that claims by Gold Mountain that they were simply efforts to mask what was happening behind the scenes. Lee Ronaldo, a guitarist for Sonic Youth, told Rolling Stone, "Rome was only the latest installment of keeping a semblance of normalcy for the outside world as it pertained to Kurt Cobain." Grant spoke to Love's attorney, Rosemary Carroll, at her office on April 13th of 94. He said she pressed him to investigate Cobain's death and that Cobain was not suicidal. Carroll also claimed that Cobain had asked her to draw up a will excluding Love because he was planning to file for divorce. Grant said this was the motive for Cobain's death, thus alleging he had been murdered by Love. Carroll also provided Grant with handwriting practice note that she found in Love's backpack. That's suspicious.
So she was practicing his handwriting.
Yeah, and that was left at her home. It had been suggested that the handwriting on this practice note is markedly similar to the handwriting found on the last four lines of Cobain's suicide note, which does look different.
It does look different.
Grant has contended that another motive for Love wanting Cobain dead was him turning down nearly $10 million to headline the 1994 Lollapalooza Festival. Grant counters the claim that he profited from the sale of casebook kits on his website by stating that it offset the cost of the investigation, Grant said. I wrestled with it, but if I go broke, I'll have to give up my pursuit and Courtney wins.
And she also could have hired the investigator, hoping that he would help back her story, not find out the real truth.
Maybe.
Because again, if you hire somebody to investigate it, she probably thinks it looks less likely that she did something. Which you'll find in a lot of kid disappearances where the parents are suspect, like the one that we watched, they hired the investigator and the investigator's like, yeah, I'm not working for you people anymore because it looks more and more likely that you did something.
Sergeant Donald Cameron, one of the homicide detectives involved in the case, specifically dismissed Grant's theory, claiming, hasn't shown us a shred of proof that this was anything other than a suicide. Grant, in turn, has accused Cameron of being a personal friend of Love's. Dylan Carson told Halperin and Wallace that he also did not believe the theory was legitimate. In an interview with Brumfeld, implied that he believed that his friend was murdered. He would have dealt with it himself in court. And Kurt and Courtney, he specifically states that he would kill Love and any others involved if he believed that they murdered Cobain.
So he believes that his friend was murdered?
Yes.
He just doesn't know who did it. It was her. I really think it was her.
Nick Brumfeld, he's a filmmaker. He decided to investigate the theories for himself. He brought a film crew to visit a number of people associated with Cobain and Love, including the estranged father, Cobain's aunt, and one of the couple's former nannies. Blumfeld also spoke to the mentor's band leader, Eldon Hoke, who claimed that Love had offered him $50,000 to kill Cobain.
Oh my God, and they didn't look into any of this?
Although Hope claimed that he knew who killed Cobain, he did not mention a name and offered no evidence to support his assertion. However, he mentioned speaking to someone called Alan of the band Kill Alan Wrench. Before interjecting, I mean my friend, then laughing, I'll let the FBI catch him. According to the mentor's bass player, Steve Roy, the whole story was concocted to sell supermarket tabloids. Brumfeld incidentally captured Hoke's final interview as he died days later when he was struck by a train in the middle of the night. Brumfeld titled his finished documentary Kurt and Courtney. It was released on February 27, 1998. In the end, Brumfeld felt he hadn't uncovered enough evidence to conclude the existence of a conspiracy. I think he committed suicide. I don't think there's a smoking gun. And I think there is only one way you can explain a lot of things around his death. Not that he was murdered, but that there was just a lack of caring for him. I just think Courtney had moved on. He was expendable. And that's, to be honest, that could be too. I mean, maybe he felt like he was being abandoned by everybody. I don't think Courtney ever loved him.
Oh, no, she was in it for the money and the fame.
But it is still, that doesn't mean that she killed him or had him killed. He could have really.
It just seems odd that he goes to the lawyer. And he's like, I want to file for divorce, but before doing so, I want my will changed to where she gets nothing. She can't touch any of it. I don't want her having any access to it. Nothing. And said lawyer also finds sample writing in Courtney's possession. Or had been known to be in Courtney's possession. And then days later, he's dead.
It was in her backpack. It was in her backpack.
And days later, he's dead. I mean, come on.
I mean, the letter does, the last four lines do look way different than the rest of the letter. But then again, his state of mind, was that about the time the drugs were kicking in? You know, you don't know exactly, but it does look like it was written in after the fact.
Yeah, the letter looks...
Well, why wouldn't the police investigate it then? That's what okay, they have no stake. They have no stake.
But here's a question. How often do police walk into what appears to be a suicide and doesn't investigate it further. Because we've seen something on a YouTube channel that we watch who was looking into a suicide that clearly wasn't a suicide but looked like it, and the police refused to come off of that suicide conclusion.
I know. And there's a lot of things that really look at this and you're like, that's not suicide. But he does have a history.
And they look at that. Well, he had a history, so he did it. But they will, I just don't think it's right to automatically walk into a scene, looks like a suicide, so we're going to say it's a suicide. Because how often are murders set up to look like suicides that are actual murders that they just say, hey, suicide, our job's done.
Well, this Ian Halperin and Max Wallace followed a similar path to attempt to investigate the murder theory. Based on evidence gathered in interviews, they believe that Cobain wanted to divorce Love near the time of his death, as she was looking for a vicious divorce lawyer to help crush a prenuptial agreement that she reportedly signed that would keep their respective fortunes separate in the end of the divorce. They also made a case that because Nicholas Hartshorn, the coroner in Cobain's case, was an admitted friend of Love's, that this was a conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah.
This was also a conclusion that was drawn in the book Who Killed Kurt Cobain by another author, and also in the Brumfields film, where there was enough evidence to conclusively prove foul play. There was more than enough to demand that the case be reopened. A notable element of the book included a discussion with Grant, who had taped nearly every conversation he had undertaken while he was working for Love. Halperin and Wallace insisted that Grant play the tapes of his
conversations with Carol,
so they could confirm his story. Over the next several years, Halperin and Wallace collaborated with Grant to write a second book, Love and Death, The Murder of Kurt Cobain. As for his friends and family, several of Cobain's friends and even members of his family also believe Cobain was murdered. Hank Harrison, Courtney Love's father, has shared his belief that Love had a motive. This is the evidence of foul play, and that the case should be reopened. Cobain's grandfather, Leland, also publicly stated that he believed Cobain was murdered. In 2005, Sonic Youth Kim Gordon was asked about Cobain's death in an interview. When asked what she thought to be Cobain's motive in committing suicide, she replied, I don't even know that he killed himself. There are people close to him who don't think that he did. When asked if she thought someone else had killed him, she answered, I do, yes. Thurston Moore stated, Kurt died in a very harsh way. It wasn't just an OD. He actually killed himself violently. He was so aggressive, and he wasn't an aggressive person. He was a smart person. He had an interesting intellect. So it kind of made sense, because it was like, wow, what a fucking gesture. But at the same time, it was like, something's wrong with that gesture. It doesn't really lie with what we know. So obviously, you got a lot of people who don't think that he killed himself. And if you look at some of the evidence, I mean, just start with what? What are we starting with?
Well, you start with the fact.
Let's just start with the crime scene.
It looks staged.
It looks staged. There's no fingerprints on anything, including his fingerprints, and he's not wearing gloves. So why wouldn't his fingerprints be on stuff unless it was wiped down?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but when you shoot a gun, like right after you shoot a gun, don't you have black residue on your hands?
You're supposed to have gunshot residue. Yeah, I mean, it would only make sense.
It's visible. That's why even after you wash your hands, you have to wash your hands, like, repeatedly.
It'll pepper your hands.
Right. So you should see it. But in the pictures that they show, there's nothing on his hands. Even the hand holding the gun or laying on the gun, it doesn't show anything on his hands.
So it shows
nothing.
So then you go to the note.
Which doesn't look right. I mean, it just doesn't look right.
Well, in the book Love and Death, that was the last one written by that Halperin and Wallace. They do believe he was in fact murdered. It's based off of 30 hours of an audio tape conversation exclusively obtained by the authors between Courtney Love's private investigator and Cobain's entertainment attorney, which both dispute the official finding of suicide and believe Cobain was murdered. Rosemary Carroll says on the tapes that she believes that the suicide note was forged or traced. The authors of the also interview Cobain's grandfather, who believes Kurt was a victim of foul play, and Courtney's father, who also believes he was murdered. A prominent forensic pathologist examines the known autopsy evidence and claims that the official suicide scenario was impossible. She claims there's compelling and authoritative evidence that Cobain was murdered. So, I think she's talking about the position he was in, to be holding a gun.
Yeah, it just doesn't... I'm trying to find the picture that I saw so that I can show you. It doesn't look...
The note doesn't make sense simply because... even the end doesn't make sense with what he was writing in the body of the note. The body of the note was explaining how he felt in the industry, not how he felt
with life.
Right.
He was saying that
within the industry, because he kept talking about being on tour and stuff like that, which, you know, you hear that from a lot of people who tour a lot. They say it takes a toll on your life. It takes a toll on you as a person.
Now, see, here's one, but I don't really know if that's him, because I've seen a couple of different things. But you're holding the barrel right there. If that is in fact him, that's not where your hand's going to be. And if you used a shotgun, there wouldn't be that much head left.
I mean, it looks like, he just doesn't, it doesn't look, it's going to blow out the whole back of your head.
He's got too much head left.
You know, and the other thing too, is, from that note, is why put a pin through it and stick it in a flower pot? You know, why wouldn't...
You're wanting it found.
Right. Most people who write suicide notes only put it in a place for someone they know
will find it.
Right, because they don't want that out there. That's words just meant for that person.
For closure, for understanding. Right. And then here, that's the picture of the note, of how the note was found.
I find it hard to believe that he did that. And from based off of everything that I've seen...
And this was made sure to be laid out so you see it.
Yeah, it was very staged to say, yes, this was a suicide. But even personality-wise, to die that way, to kill yourself that way, is a very aggressive way. That's very outwardly aggressive. And if you watch his videos, listen to his music, there's nothing aggressive
about him.
There's nothing. And even his friends say he was not an aggressive person. You know, yes, he was depressed, he was quiet, but he wasn't aggressive. So, I don't know. And if he had this intellect that everybody talked about, and if you... read his lyrics, he is very smart. There's a better way to achieve what you wanted to achieve, if that's really what you wanted to do, other than a shotgun blast.
And why, if the Rome attempt was an actual suicide attempt, why would he go from pills to a shotgun? That doesn't make sense to me. Why go from one to the other? Typically,
I don't think it was.
Typically, in suicide attempts, don't you use the same means multiple times?
Usually, men go more for like the hanging or the shooting. Women go for more of the pill taking.
So that's why they thought Courtney could have been involved in the pill thing. Because maybe. That's typically how a woman... Well, even if they're trying to kill somebody, they're going to do that form. They're going to mix it in the drinks.
And, you know, the fact that he went and talked to his attorney... That's a public record that he went and talked to his attorney to file for divorce and get his will changed.
I think that's a reenactment. So...
Just the position that he's holding his hand.
If that's the hand that he used to pull the trigger, why is it in a closed fist over here?
Yeah, I don't know.
And there's no black on either one of his hands.
Yeah, I don't know.
And again, a shotgun... It's not going to leave that much head.
But he did purchase the shotgun, or he had somebody purchase it for him. But was he thinking like, did he already think there was threats against his life? Did he already fear that if, something was going on and that's why he got it?
You said earlier that he had said something about somebody burglaries. Attempting to break in, and the person that found him was there to install security lights. So that makes sense, because with his mental issues, that's why the cops kept taking the guns, because he was a potential suicide risk, probably because of stuff that bitch was saying. So that's why he had his friend get the shotgun, that way it's there in case somebody breaks in.
I think there's definitely enough to say needs to be looked at again. I mean, from a fresh perspective, and, you know, definitely unbridled, let somebody really dig into this, because I think what you're going to find is she didn't kill him, but she had somebody kill him. And it was somebody close to her. And the fact that she was friends with the coroner.
She was friends with the cops, too.
I think it needs a fresh set of eyes. It needs a fresh investigation. It's just sad. It's just sad that it can't be investigated the way it needs to be investigated. And if he, you know what? And it would be closure if he did kill himself, because at least his family would know. Look, we investigated this
again. And his fans.
This is what we found, and this is why we think this happened this way. You have too many questions, and when you have those questions lingering out there, people are going to... The best way to kill conspiracy is with transparency. So you have to be very transparent with what you're doing in the investigation and keep people updated.
And it's just odd that she... cremating.
To me, it makes sense that he wanted to. How many bands do you hear about? They're so successful, they just kind of get out of the music business for a while. They may come back, but they leave for a while. They just need to get away. They just need to.
Yeah, if he'd have come out and said, hey, for my mental health right now, I need to take five.
Right. And that's kind of what the note was saying in a way. Like, hey, I just.
I'm not feeling it right now. I feel like
it's
I'm
fake.
Depriving you.
It's not authentic.
Right. I'm depriving you of what you're coming to see because I'm not 100% into it.
And even his friend said he was a very authentic person. So if he wasn't feeling it, and even he wanted to go and do some projects that he just wanted to do for himself that he knew wouldn't be accepted in the in his mainstream, and he wouldn't be allowed to do that by contractual obligations. The only way to do that would be to get out.
Right. And that note, honestly... Before the added pieces, it really reads like maybe a first draft of something you're going to give to your publicist to put out there.
Right.
It doesn't sound like a suicide note in any way except for that last right. little questionable
part.
There's no,
part. I'm sorry, this is why this had to happen. You know, there's nothing like that until you get to the very end, the last four lines, then it's all about...
She's going to be, Francis will be better off without me, Courtney be strong for Francis. And if it was her that was making him feel that way, it looked like he was taking the proper steps to get her out of his life.
Right. And who knows how that relationship started, and maybe, you know, it she was using him. As a, you know, to step in the business, which is not uncommon, I would think.
Going to look at Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. I mean, she's trying to demolish that poor man.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, that's human nature. That's what, you know, we do to each other. But she was stepping on him maybe to get to another level in her career. Because really, if you listen to her music, it's not very good.
It's not very good. And the funny thing is she got nothing out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very good. The fame she got was being associated with Kurt Cobain. And then, of course, this happens and she thought, well, I'll get all of his shit. And really, I think she's done a couple movies.
The only thing I know for sure that she was in the Larry Flint movie. And I think other than that, nothing.
Yeah. And really, she was just playing herself in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, a strung out whore. I mean, really,
yeah,
that's all she was doing.
And if that's not who she is, that's certainly who she betrayed herself as.
Well, she seemed really comfortable because it's not like she had acting classes, so they probably said just be yourself.
No.
You know, and I'm not saying Kurt Cobain was an angel. He probably wasn't. He was probably hard to get along with. He had some mental issues. He was probably somewhat of a diva at some point.
And it seems like he was in chronic pain.
Yeah, and it seemed like he was maybe a handful at times. I don't for one minute think he didn't have suicide attempts. I mean, of course he probably did. Or at least thought about it, or at least thought it through. Maybe that was something he shared with her.
But I don't think he's going to go shotgun. Because you had the...
Shotgun just seems like a really odd way. And I will tell you, I've seen it in other people when I've taken care of them in the hospitals and stuff. And it is... If you only knew, I mean, we, you know, please, if you think about suicide, you should call
somebody. There's call numbers somebody. Out there. Yes. Talk to somebody.
But it just, if you think about, you know, how many times it doesn't go right and how you're left as a half a person.
Well, because you got half your face if it's not done right.
You would think, and I know that people who are contemplating suicide research it. You know, if he was as smart as everybody says he was, and they appear so in his music...
He could have just overdosed with the heroin, because in the pictures, there's a nice little cigarette box or cigar box open right there with all the paraphernalia in it. So why wouldn't he just give himself...
A mega dose
of heroin and go that way?
Right. The shotgun thing really just does not seem...
And the position, probable. How he's holding it, it just doesn't make sense.
No. I think, personally, he was... he was murdered by someone she hired. I don't think she did it. I think she hired somebody to do it.
I think the heroin was to incapacitating.
Yeah. Which, you know, it seemed like, if I read it right, some of the authors of those books actually tried that dose of heroin just to see what it would do.
Or knew somebody that tried that dose.
And how incapacitated you wouldn't even be able to function to set the gun up and pull the trigger. And
yeah, you couldn't do any of that stuff. And you sure as shit couldn't have wrote the note.
All right. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts? You know, let us know if you like these type of conspiracy podcasts. We'll do more.
Yeah, I had, of course, because we, you know, were teenagers in the 90s.
Yeah.
We had heard about this. And I don't think either one of us, even then when we heard about it, thought that he actually killed himself.
Yeah, I mean...
Never really looked into it.
Never really looked into it. We just thought it sounded kind of suspicious.
Well, yeah, I've always thought all along that she did it or had something to do with it.
And, of course, there is that thing, too. You know, when your mate comes up missing or dead...
You're typically
the wife or the husband that's the first suspect. Not always the
boyfriend,
person
girlfriend.
It.
It's, yeah.
But, you know, normally they're looked at.
And she wasn't even looked at.
It doesn't even sound like they investigated her.
And it just seems odd, especially with what happened leading up the days prior to that he was looking into divorce, that she was looking into a divorce attorney that could throw out the prenup.
Right.
You signed the prenup. Those are ironclad. You can't get out of those.
Right.
Unless, I think there's like a clause in there, if one or the other cheats, then the prenup is negated, but that never came up.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't think he was cheating on it. I think he was...
No, I'm not saying... That's just a clause that can be found in those.
You know, surprisingly, he didn't sound like your typical rock and roller artist that is out there just fucking everything.
And by all accounts, he was crazy about his kid.
Yeah.
So, why would he kill himself and not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's his reason to live.
That she was his reason to live. He was crazy about her. So, he would have done everything he could to stay around for her. And it just seems weird that he climbed a 6-foot wall to get out of rehab.
I don't know. I mean, people who are strung out on drugs do amazing things. Things you wouldn't even recognize that a human could do. So,
I think if they look into it, she probably found a way to get him out of there. Like, lure him out of there into the house. Because it took 3 days to find him. If you are in the house, you're going to hear the shotgun blast. Or are you going to tell me that you didn't check on him in rehab and that room?
Like you said, it was 3 days. So in that 3 days, you're right. No one heard the shotgun blast. No one said, what was that loud noise? No one said, hey, cops, I heard a gunshot. Haven't seen Kurt in 3 days.
And here's another thing I'm going to throw out there. They're saying there's not a lot of blood at the scene, right?
Could he have been killed somewhere else?
Could he have been killed somewhere else and the scene staged?
Yeah. But typically, though, with those shotgun blasts to the head, there is not a whole lot of blood. There's not. Not typically. But
even if it blows your entire head off, there's not a lot of blood.
There's typically not a lot of blood.
How does a shotgun blast leave less blood than a handgun?
A lot of blood outward. It'll probably pool in the cranium or whatever's left of the cranium. It'll pool in your throat. It'll pool there instead of outward. Like as if you get shot in the chest, it's going to
drain out.
Right. But there's a place for it to pool. And you're talking about blood. If you're laying flat, that blood's just doing this. It's not tilted to come out.
I don't know. I personally don't think he killed himself.
I don't either. I think she had something to do with it.
All signs point to she had something to do with it. And like I said earlier, just, and if I am suspected, as she had to know people were thinking she had something to do with it, I'm not cremating the body. I'm going to bury that bitch so that if it is reopened, dig him up, check it out. Because if you don't have anything to hide, don't get rid of the evidence.
The way to kill conspiracy is transparency.
Exactly. So if I know that I'm the one that everybody's thinking had something to do with it, I'm burying that body. And I'm going to say, look, if and when at any point you want to dig him up to reopen this case, feel free.
Well, come back and join us again. We're glad that you spent this time with us and hope that you like the podcast.
And let us know if you want us to do more cases like this.
We do have a contest.
Yeah, it's, I'm not sure when it's going to stop. I will put on Twitter when we're going to stop it. We're looking for you to submit your three favorite podcasts that we do and give us three suggestions, and whoever wins the contest will get a free plush from our Etsy store, the Fairy Tavern Etsy store. They get the choice of a free medium worm, a free medium Mothman, a Nightcrawler, or a Bigfoot.
And once you give them the contact information,
just you can email us your suggestions and picks at cryptidkillers@yahoo.com, or you can tweet them to us on our Twitter, which I believe is the same. It's under the same name as our podcast, and on there, on our Twitter is also the link for the voice message thing that you could send us through Anchor. The podcast thing. So we would love to hear from you guys for suggestions and things that you'd like to hear us do more of. So we'll see you next time. Bye.